All right, WMFO in Medford, Rising with Sky Bar. Lisa Coyne's going to be on with me in about 12, 13 minutes, roughly. Going to play some stuff that I have to play to a lot of new stuff. This is an older song, though. Once again, WMFO in Medford, Rising with Sky Bar. This song's called She's Afraid of Everything.
Call it love. I just know I'm not enough. Thank you.
All right, that was new stuff by Eric Barlow. Song called Remains of May. And before that, we heard Turnstile, Blue by You, off Nonstop Feeling. New one from The Sins called Crowhead Boys. That's off the upcoming Little Miss Lost release. Started with Press Club, Afraid of Everything. It's 811 WMFO in Medford. If you're under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a car and driving. People die that way. Public service message from WMFO in Medford. Tufts Educational Radio. I'll be up after this song with Lisa. We're going to talk a bit. She's going to play a bit. This song is called Choices. It's about the woman's right to choose what goes on with their bodies. This is, once again, this is called Choices. We'll be back in about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. All right, that was Choices by Emil and the Sniffers, band out of Australia. I'm just getting Lisa get herself situated here.
Yeah, I love bands from Australia. They tend to
bang it out. Yeah,
pretty hard. Yeah.
And I play a lot of them on the show.
That's cool.
But before we get going about the new stuff, the new video and all that, just want to go back a ways. Did you grow up around here in the area?
Yeah, I'm native. I grew up in Burlington, Massachusetts, with the mall. Yeah.
I grew up in Peabody.
Oh, yeah. So we're not north. We're both, you know, I didn't know the South Shore existed.
Oh, I didn't either.
Yeah, it's like a weird place.
I didn't know much outside of Peabody existed.
I went to Hull for the first time this year.
Yeah.
For the first time this year.
I've heard of Hull.
Yeah, it's a place. It's a different beach. You got to go south to get to it. Yeah.
Did you have a show there or did you just go to...
I went to go to someone else's show there.
Yeah, is it the... What's down there? The C Note?
I was at the C Note. Yeah. Yeah, I went to go see... Oh my gosh. My brain broke.
How is the C Note?
The C Note's cool. That's like a fun joint. Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people do play there around
they
here.
They do.
And I'm...
And it is happening. I feel like it's a happening little place.
Is it a long trek down there?
No, you know, it's surprisingly not. And it was really weird that I had not been there because I'm just a big fan of beach.
Yeah.
Like, and cheap arcades and just anything that falls into that, like, venue of things.
Salisbury Beach, at least for the north parts, would fall right. Cheap arcades and
yeah, beach. Yeah, Salisbury, and Hampton. Yeah. I grew up going to Old Orchard, which that's my preferable Jersey Shore-style beach. That's my preference. Yeah.
As kids, we used to go to Wingachique a lot.
Oh, we went to Wingachique. Yeah. But now they have, like, you know, they charge a lot for parking, so you have to only go later in the day. So I've bumped it over to Nahant because it's cheaper.
Okay.
My mom liked that beach. Safe beach for the kids.
Nahant
Public
was?
Service. Wingachique. Safe beach for the kids.
Wingachique was?
Because it is. There's just not, like, really a rip current, and your kids aren't going to drown there. Overpriced now. Safe for the kids.
All of a sudden, this has become a beach show. But
yeah.
I prefer how about Plum
beach.
Island? Before we get off the beach.
Oh, I love Plum Fest. Plum Fest.
But Plum Island does have, I think they are known for the undertow. I think Plum Island
they
can times
they do. It seems, you know, I've only gone in there a couple of times, and you could probably get messed up in Plum Island.
Yeah, I think Plum Island.
But they get the, what's that, Sunset Club? That place is rad. It's a good place to drink if you want to drink. And
there
see
aren't
a sunset.
Many, there aren't places to play up at Hampton, there are.
Yeah, there's a bunch of places at Hampton, but like Plum Fest.
I don't know of Plum Fest. What
that's like Porch Fest for Plum Island.
Okay.
And you could play Plum Fest.
Have you played Plum Fest?
No, I want to.
That's one of your goals.
People are listening. I want to play Plum. I like the beach. Who's going to host me?
I know, that's funny. How early did you start singing and writing and know that you wanted to kind of do that as like in clubs? And
I wanted to be on Star Search as a child, and my parents were not, they didn't really pick up on that vibe. They
you were sending it, but they weren't catching it.
No. I just don't, they weren't going to be theater parents. Like I was like a joiner, and they're like, this is costing a lot of money. Why does she have so many hobbies? But I did really want to be on Star Search, like, bad.
Yeah. Star Search was the one that you didn't... They had all kinds of... It didn't have to be a singer, right?
No, I would have been a dancer.
You could be like a dancer, right.
Any of that, anything.
Star of the day.
Yeah, I just wanted to be on stage.
That.
Like, some people have stage fright. That's not a problem for me.
You'll jump on stage anywhere.
Yeah, like, I have no shame. I don't even need to be particularly good at it. But then, like, you know, once I just started... I started writing like once puberty hit because I needed some place for the anger to go. So it just needed to be channeled into it, into like the music or into a diary. It just needed a place. And then, you know, I'm at that age where like Nirvana was hitting big, and like that just kind of opened up a whole different avenue for music and what writing looked like. It didn't need to be super produced. Like, you could have a guitar and write and put your feelings down that way, in a way that maybe like when I was just listening to pop music, it seemed very complicated. And then like Nirvana happened and you're like, oh, okay, I can
just
chop
bang
out
this
some
out
chords. And then I just hid in my room until I went to college and didn't play music for people. I worked at Newbury Comics like all growing up as a teenager, so I got hired. Worked at Sam Goody, and then I was like on my 16th birthday got hired at Newbury Comics Burlington. So I was like the youngest person at Newbury Comics, and I worked there for about 7 years, so I like really been a huge fan of music. But then all the guys like Kevin Steven from The Shots like worked in my store, and like I was like, okay, these people are good at music, so we're just not gonna. Like, and my songs are about my feelings and boys that hurt my feelings. And these other guys are, like, shredding licks and playing metal. And this guy's in, like, an established punk band. I'm like, I'm just not going to talk about the fact that I play and write music. Like, no one needs to know at all. And then in college, I did a poetry slam and I, like, sang a cappella. And then this guy, Barry Marshall, who was a professor around at a bunch of, like, I went to Massachusetts Communications College, which no longer exists. But he's like, you should go to an open mic. And I was like, what's an open mic? And
so
then
you didn't really sing out till then? Like,
I mean, I sang in a chorus.
Right, but
you know,
I mean like in a club or a bar or a open mic scenario.
I went open mics and I hit them like real hard in college. Like 3 or 4 a week, I was obsessed. And I just went to open mics constantly. But like, that's such a good bar event, barrier of entry, because especially Passim, it was like this almost great mentor environment. Like, they always talk about multi-generational, different backgrounds. Like, it had a lot of different ages of people and ability levels, and all you had is one song. So, like, some open mics, you got 15 minutes. That's still a lot for somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. But, like, the bar was just like, you just got to get through one song. And I was like, okay, that felt like a safe entry point. like where nobody was really going to judge you. The bar was really low. And then I just started playing open mics for like years and years and years. And then eventually you kind of, not like you outgrow them, because as you're like workshopping stuff, you can always go to open mics, and that's still like a cool avenue to try new things out or just like get comfortable with a new mm-hmm. song. But then eventually you kind of am like, well, now I have a set. Yeah. So, like, do I really want to hang out here all night to play one song when I got, like, seven songs I could play?
Yeah.
So you just kind of, like, naturally, like, grow out of that, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then you're like, do I want to play with other musicians? Like, is that going to make things?
Yeah.
Like, and you're still like, okay, maybe it'd be good to have some drums. Do I want drums all the time? Do I want them sometimes? So, like, I definitely was doing more stuff like acoustic guitar with me ahead of, like, having a band. Because having a band was terrifying.
Yeah, and there's a lot more. Obviously, there's a lot more that goes into that, and there's a lot more involved in that. You have to bring people in, and you have to expand your sound, I guess, obviously. And did you always write lyrics first, and then melody, or how did?
It's always like
combination,
stream of consciousness. Like usually, I have some like concept of like, okay, the outline of like this song is going to be about, and then you're like, okay, I'm gonna like play guitar and sing along, and like you're like, that's a sad chord, this is gonna be a sad song, like, so it kind of like, and then you tweak it, like you'll like be like, oh, that chorus was pretty good, all right, I got a verse out of that, and then it will kind of grow from there. And I'll usually like have the lyrics and melody like kind of in bass chords like written, mm-hmm. and then bring in like, I mean, other, you know, but over the years, like sometimes like a guitar player will write something, or like I was in this punk band called Viva Gina where it was actually like all of us were singers and writers, so then when you got together, it was like a big brainstorming session. Yeah. And that was probably like the most collaborative writing environment, because everybody wrote and kind of like was in on it, and it was like a very kind of just fun, like the songs were not necessarily about your feelings, they were like maxing out an ex-boyfriend's credit card, even though like, and we were all like fake people. We were not like our real selves. It was like the WWF version of like rock and roll, I suppose. Yeah.
So you've been in a lot of different formats. The punk thing, you've done your solo stuff, and your sound now, I'm going to let you play one in a minute, but your sound now, I've heard it described as country, but I really don't think it's country. It's hard, I wouldn't pigeonhole it with any specific genre. Would you call it anything?
No, it's just weird, because then it gets, I feel like with stuff like that, how do you, like, it's almost more rootsy Americana country than it probably would be hard rock.
Right.
But then there's elements of that. I'm almost like, it's like, which I'm probably closer to Sheryl Crow than I am to like Johnny Cash.
Exactly.
But then it's like, how, if you label it rock, like, do you really fit? I'm probably more likely to play the Lizard Lounge than I would be on like a bill with a bunch of metal bands. So it's always, I don't know, I just call it like straight up the middle shit.
It's all right.
Stuff.
Stuff. You're good. We'll let one go.
Nobody heard that.
No, but it's true though. And I think sometimes you, why label a band a specific genre? Just go see them, and if you like them, you like them.
I feel like people's moms will like us, and maybe other, you know what I mean?
It cuts,
I think,
a wide
accessible.
Swath. It cuts a wide swath, And so,
and now I'm like, I have to go grab my capo. I have to get a capo that I forgot to pull out of my bag.
You know what? I can play something off the board here. We'll play Reckoning.
Okay.
While you grab a capo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to play one of Lisa's tunes.
This one's a rocker.
Yeah. I'm going to play this, and when we're back, she'll have her capo.
Yeah, I totally was like, I got everything I need but the capo.
That's all right.
And I love capos. That's another fun fact about Lisa Coyne. All songs have capos. Yeah. Yeah.
Two new. All right, this is The Reckoning. This is The Reckoning, and we'll be back live in a little bit.
Oh,
That was The Reckoning Is Here. Do you want to say anything about that song?
That song was about the election, the previous one, that went in the way that we wanted it to go.
Right.
It's, I hope people have voted. I think the polls are closed, so I guess if you did not vote today, then that did not happen. But you should vote in November.
Yeah, that's the big one.
That's the big one. That's the important one.
You want to show up for
that. So democracy doesn't fall into disorder.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of political podcasts. I live in a state of constant anxiety until this November, and then I've got a passport. I'm going to go to Portugal.
I don't listen because it would drive me crazy. But I'm gonna let you sing.
Cool. This song's called Stayed, and then I just put out a music video for it, and I will we can touch
we'll
base on that after.
That.
Yeah. Like I'm some sort of stranger you haven't got to know before. Well, my God said you weren't in it. You said stay. We're really not that different. So I stay here with you. Oh, I stay here with you. Town while I'm hanging right.
'cause we are just different, different, me and you. I guess we are just different, different, me and you.
Fantastic.
Thanks.
It's a great song, great video, and it was a great performance.
Appreciate it.
Here in a studio. So, I mean, the video, I mean, it's pretty deep.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty, and a lot of videos are, majority of local videos are just fun little rock videos, and that's cool, and they're good, and that's great, but this is a important video, and you did it all yourself.
Yeah.
Right? The video itself.
Yeah, I just shot it in my shower on an iPhone. I mean, my occupation is I've done, like, a lot of not, like, I've don't want to be like anyone can, and I mean it wasn't that, but I do that for my day job, so I'm a video producer for corporate companies over the years. Now I'm not necessarily doing that, but I did that for a long time. But I'm always like, if you're gonna make something, because like a lot of people, if you don't do videos every day for work, you're like excited to make a video, and it's like the double-edged sword as a musician, because you're like, making videos is my job. That's like not fun. Like, it's fun, but it's not fun in a way that if you're learning how to edit a video for the, I mean, that's why I went into it for my career, because I was like, oh, this is like the coolest thing ever. But once you make like 300 plus videos, you're just like, So I'm like, okay, if I'm going to make a video, I want it to mean something. Like, I want it to have a concept and a story and a mission behind it. And then I thought about Stayed. Stayed's like a song where like, it was written with this meaning of getting out of a really unhealthy situation or being in an unbalanced relationship where that could skew on different levels of like really dangerous to not dangerous and just not good feelings. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of was doing a lot of my own work around like, what does it look like to be a safe relationship? And then I started to kind of, again, podcast, listening to a lot of different podcasts and following a lot of legal podcasts along with a lot of like podcasts for like the closing the boyfriend loophole and all this legislation that's going into like what happens like when a person that is like a unsafe domestic partner to be in a relationship with, when they have an access to a firearm, like it's really dangerous for the other person on the other side of that equation. And so I kind of like was thinking about the song, it just was like, okay, that's the concept for it. And like I was like, I don't know where I'm going to, should I shoot in the shower? Should I shoot in my bedroom? Like, and then even I was like, should I put like a gun in the frame or not put a gun in the frame? And like, it was like, it'll come out how it's going to come out. And then especially like Rahimi is coming up and the decision's going to be in June around. And for people that have not followed this court case, there was a guy in Texas who basically punched his girlfriend out in a parking lot, dragged her into the car, and then somebody witnessed that assault, and so he had a gun in his car, and then he fired. He didn't hit that person, but he fired multiple rounds in the direction of that person to basically scare them into silence so that person would not report him to the police. And the lower court in Texas actually took this person's gun away, which is good because he's been a person that's misused firearms on multiple occasions. Aside from that, he should definitely, it's not like an accident type of person. There's no gray area with it. He's not regulated, like emotionally regulated enough, I think, to own a gun. And like, he appealed it to another court and they were like, yep, we're just going to give him his gun back because if, like, when the Constitution was founded, like, you could hit your wife and that was okay. Yeah. And like, so
always,
it just kind of,
they always go back to the Constitution with guns, and it's outdated, it's archaic. I mean, I'm about as anti-gun as you can get. And I mean, if you want to fight a gun to protect your house, okay, if you want one to hunt. But if you have domestic issues, mental health issues, you shouldn't even be able to access any kind of gun. But yeah,
I mean, I think even with veterans, like if they know a veteran has like mental health issues, I think they will make that veteran like turn their guns in certain states. Like, so it's just really weird that somebody can be convicted of like assaulting their domestic partner and yet they still have access to firearms. So I hope the Supreme Court, and I mean the Supreme Court is like very skewed Republican right now, so I don't have a lot of faith in them. I hope they do the right thing with this one because it's going to really affect.
Yeah. Every now and then they do
shock
you with, but in general the court is skewed to the Trump appointees, and so you just keep your fingers crossed on things like that. But I'm totally behind you with the gun legislation that should be out there. It's ridiculous.
And it's common. I think, like, even if you get, it's one of those things where if they polled people in the U.S., like, most people would be in favor, they are in favor of reasonable background checks and accommodations. Like, I think most people don't want someone that's completely emotionally dysregulated and can't make sound decisions owning a bunch of firearms. Like,
right.
I don't think, like, that's not taking hunting rifles away from every person. That's just, right, like,
exactly.
You know, like, if you have been drunk driving a bunch, they take your license away. Yeah. Like, I feel like at some point that should be the same with a gun. Like, if you're firing it off willy-nilly at people, like, you should not have a gun anymore. Like, so it just kind of went, that was the concept for the video. And I was like, if I'm going to make a video, I want it to, like, mean something. And who knows, maybe after this one, I'll make a fun video. Like, I kind of want to do a smash room video where you just break things. And that might be kind of fun to shoot in slow-mo.
Yeah, it's, like, good to balance.
Yeah.
Good to balance things.
Yeah, but and this record's definitely been, like, a doozy, you know? There's, like, a lot of heavy stuff on this record, so I feel like after whatever I do next needs to be, like, a dance pop album or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just looking at what I want to play here. So, yeah, that was, I have a couple other songs that I could, I've Reckless and Lost. We don't have to play either one of those.
Oh, is it Lost or Look?
Oh, Look.
Look's a good one. Look is a happy love song.
See where the glasses are.
It's, I'm going, I am at the age where I can't see, I can't write the check in dark. It's terrible. I have to put the flashlight on the phone.
Why don't we play Look?
Yeah, Look is a happy love song.
And then we'll come back. And you got one. I think you can probably get two. And we'll talk about your upcoming gigs and like that. But I'm going to play this and then we'll talk a bit more.
All right. Cool. Yeah,
this is Look, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Something that trying to make it hard. I'm not trying it out with you. It just slides right across. What do you want me now to do? I'm not trying to make it hard. I'm not trying it out with you. It just slides right across. What do you want?
All right, we're back, and it's 8:45.
Yeah.
But we definitely want to get in your upcoming gigs, so why don't you mention that?
So we're playing The Haven with the Magic City this Saturday night. That starts at 9 p.m., and The Haven's in JP. And for those people who are like, what's The Haven? It's like basically after the Milky Way moved into the new location, and it's the Milky Way location that's now The Haven.
Okay.
So in the brewery building in JP. There's parking.
Oh.
That's key.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It is, yeah. Key in that area.
Yeah. And then we're playing The Jungle on the 23rd with Galaxy Cake and the Daylilies and Hazel. Ooh, I should pull this up.
And is that a Galaxy Cake release?
It is. Yeah. They're baking a cake. They're having a Galaxy Cake. It's definitely, yeah.
Releasing a single, I think.
Yeah. All kinds of stuff. I think it's their first single.
Yeah.
And that's exciting because I feel like that might be some people's first ever single. Like ever single.
Yeah.
Like along with the band, it might be like somebody's first single, baby.
Yeah. And I don't have it yet, so I knew that, and I've been on. They keep telling me, yeah, it's coming out, it's coming out, it's coming out. But yeah.
I've heard a little taste of it. It's going to be a tasty cake. It's going to be a tasty cake.
All right. I'll let you sing one.
Yeah, this one's I didn't want to do two bummers in a row. This one's called Southern Boys. This one's just about, it's fun. It's a fun song about boys. Yeah. Way below the Mason-Dixon line, that's where wasted time on the big blue skies with you. And the train tracks went on for miles. I get lost in your eyes for hours. Selling lies, let me believe that they're true. Oh, you Southern boys, you break my heart. Open the door for me, I fall in, and that's where it starts.
Nice.
That's it. That's a little ditty. That was actually, you guys could find a recording of that by this other band I was in called The Easy Reasons that predated Lonely Lisa.
Wow.
There's Naked on Roller Skates, there's The Easy Reasons, there's Viva Gina, and then there's Lonely Lisa and The Lost Cowboys. So there's
all
a roster.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. You could, Did you want to do one more? Or
I mean, that's a, we talked about the shows. I could do.
How long would the next song be?
Oh God, I feel like none of my songs are that short.
You could do four. You could do a 4-minute song.
All right. Let's do this one. This is my pro-choice song. This is my abortion song.
That works.
Yeah, because we're here on voting day, and I figure I'm going to keep playing this song until women and pregnant people, we get our rights back. Because right now, I feel like 16-year-old me could go in an abortion clinic and get that stuff taken care of so I didn't have to be a mom when I didn't want to be one. In fact, I don't want children. And, like, really appreciated the fact that I wasn't going to be forced to have them. And now, if you live in, like, Alabama, you're forced not to have children if you can't conceive them naturally, and then you're forced to have them when you don't want them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bummer.
That's a whole
nother, I like freedom.
A whole
nother I enjoy
topic.
Freedom. It's not very free if you're a woman in the U.S.
right
now. This song's called 19. It's about how I didn't want to be a mom at 19. Yep. All right.
Do it.
I gotta move this capo a little bit. All right, here we go.
That's all right. We got
grew up tough and I grew up mean. I grew up knowing I didn't want me a mama and age. A mama and age. 19. I grew up fast. Don't change my vision, don't force your values, don't
said, go with your blood and soil. You don't get to see harm that you rub upon me.
Nice.
That's for freedom.
We brought it to the bell.
Ladies
here.
Love freedom. Get your orange hands out of my vajayjay. Don't like them in there. Not you, just Trump, his tiny orange hands. I don't want them in there.
I hear you.
I don't want his hands on my vajayjay. Actually, we can say vagina on Tufts.
I
don't want
can.
Trump's hands in my vagina. I want them out. Away.
Yeah. I think we can say that. But,
all right.
Yeah, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, I feel like ending the show on no Trump hands in my vagina. We're gonna end on that note.
That's a good way to finish it. It's a good message. Thanks again for coming in. And I wish you all success with your future gigs. I hope to get at some of them.
They should be fun. Yeah.
But I'm trying to see now. It's the time of the show. Like I have to say, okay, what fits in? I need like a minute and a half song, and I got one.
Party.
This is new stuff by Hammered Saint.
Ooh, we love them.
WMFO in Medford, Rising with Skybar. We'll see you next week. All right. Peace out.
Peace.